Joe's at a wedding in the States, which sounds very... we're very cosmopolitan and jet-setting, aren't we? I had some air miles left over, and we got an invitation at the beginning of the year to go to a friend's wedding. Wendy, who did a DTS with us when we were in Argentina, and then stayed on as staff and worked with us for 4 or 5 years. So she's someone who we know very well and who knows us very well. And she invited us. Unfortunately, we couldn't all go, but the air miles were sufficient to cover Joe's travel there. So the wedding was yesterday, and she's in Seattle. She'll be doing a bit of sightseeing, probably around now, actually. There's a 8-hour difference, so she's probably working up an appetite for lunch. I wasn't able to send too much information to the people she was with to keep her away from the shopping malls, but we shall see what happens. I put in an order for one or two things, but I hope that's all she brings back. And the stuff for the girls, obviously. So Jo's in Seattle, and she's doing very well, and she'll be back the middle of this week. We've had quite a hectic start of the year. I have said to a number of people that it wasn't supposed to be quite as busy as it was. At the end of last year, looking forward into January through to Easter, we had one or two commitments with plenty of space between them to get over each one and get ready for the next one. And as time went by, situations happened, people happened, and the gaps in between kind of filled up. So we had a bit of a busy start to the year. But I'd always say I prefer to be busy than just sitting around waiting for something to happen. Although I am quite looking forward now to getting to Easter and being able to, after Easter up until Christmas, hopefully, no, up until at least the summer, just to slow down a little bit and concentrate on one or two other things that we've got going on, some of which I'll explain or talk to you a little bit later on about. Last Tuesday, we graduated a discipleship training school. Joe and I are still very much focused on the DTS, the discipleship training school within Youth with a Mission. And we had a group of 27 students who we graduated on Tuesday night who were with us from the end of September last year. And it was a very emotional evening, as you can imagine, for these guys to have spent so much time together. And then to know that the following day, 5 or 6 of them had already got their onward tickets, and the day after that, another 15 or 20 left. So things came to quite an abrupt end for them. So the graduation was a celebration of all that God had done, a celebration of friendship, and also looking forward to the next things that they've got on their horizon. Just to give you a summary, I suppose, the DTS is a 6-month program. The first 3 months are residential on the Youth with a Mission campus. And the makeup is pretty much Monday to Friday, classes in the morning, practical work and small groups, one-on-one discipleship, and other activities thrown in. That's the basic mix for the discipleship training school. And then followed by a 10-week outreach, principally 6 weeks overseas and about 4 weeks in the UK, depending on contacts and availability of flights and other parameters. And then back to the Wyoming base in Harpenden for debrief, talking about what it means to put into place in our lives and hold on to all the things that God has said and done before moving on to the next step. And I think we're realizing more and more that 10 days is possibly not even enough. We probably need to add on an extra couple of days just to give people a chance to allow the activity and what they've learned to kind of filter down and seep into their being, into who they are, so that when they move on to the next thing, they're kind of taking things with them, and they know what God's done, and they're sure of that. So we've graduated that DTS. As we were finishing that DTS, we had another one starting, which is a DTS which has a focus on sport, timed to coincide with the outreach with the World Cup in South Africa. There are a number of initiatives like this within YWAM and outside of YWAM to take teams into South Africa with a focus on evangelism. And that's one of the things that this group and I too will be joining them for a while to look at how we can maybe bridge the gap between sport, which is such a great social includer and so good at building community and friendships. How can you take that and also use it in order to make an impact with the gospel in the places that we go to? So this sports DTS that's running at the moment, and we have three of those students with us, are doing the basic DTS that we do all the time, but they're also having some specialised lecturers come in who are practitioners either in the area of sport, or they're lecturers in the area of sport and mission. So they've had some very interesting speakers come. So far I've missed them all, but I've read the books that one of them wrote, a book called Sport and Spirituality. They've looked at the history of sport from the original Olympics and the ethos behind sport and competition. They're looking at how sport can be used to bring people together. And the proof of the pudding really is seen on a Sunday afternoon when we play football. And then you can really see how much the gospel is involved in what we do, the tackling that goes on, the shirt pulling, or lack of it. I've not played for a couple of weeks, so I'm not quite sure how redeemed the football's been on a Sunday afternoon. I shall have to find out next week when I'm back. So I said to these guys, perhaps it might be easier, rather than just come up and stand here for a couple of minutes and talk, if I ask them some questions. It'd be great to have them all lined up. Do you remember Parkinson? He had a line of chairs, and then they just kind of moved down one as they'd been spoken to. But I think they might, one, they won't know who Parkinson is, but they might feel a bit uncomfortable sitting up here on their own, not talking. So we'll just go one at a time, I think. Is that all right? Before I do anything else, I'm going to ask Naomi and Esther and Abby just to come up here for a minute. Last time we came, they came with a dance and they presented something. But I think today they said there's no chance of that. No iPod, no music. Not going to do that. But I just wondered if they'd like to just have an opportunity to say hello. What you're up to. Perhaps you could just say what's going on in your lives at the moment. Because you're, Naomi, I know at the moment, we're living through GCSE coursework, aren't we? So what's going on in your life?
My tech coursework is all due for next Friday, so I'm working at the sewing machine 24/7 practically.
It's been a bit slower since Mummy's not here, isn't it? I can't really help in textiles. I'm all right in art, but I can't help at textiles.
Work at school, especially because we finished most of our modules and just starting on revision for exams, which start in May. I don't really know anything else.
Okay, and Esther, what's happening this week? What are we looking forward to this week?
Oh, I have a French exchange coming.
Yeah, a French exchange student.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a nightmare The only people that speak French in the family are here. Spanish exchange student would have been great, but we couldn't do that, could we? So, what's her name? Can you remember?
Marion.
And she's coming on?
Tuesday.
Which is a real test for me, because Joe doesn't get back till Thursday. So, what kind of an impression she'll leave with England, I'm not really sure. And you've done what else have you done this year? Oh, look. Yeah, that's it. Then we've got it, yeah.
Oh, I'm choosing my options. Oh, geography and... drama and geography.
Drama and geography. Thank you, Esther. And Abigail? How are you?
All right. I almost broke my arm on...
Friday, yeah. Friday. We rushed to A&E, didn't we?
Yep.
Abby broke her arm... When was it?
Last year.
Last year in the summer, she had a big pink cast on. And she bumped her other elbow and presented as similar symptoms. So we rushed to A&E. And then what happened?
Nothing.
By the time the doctor saw her, he squeezed her arm and she kind of said, no, it doesn't hurt. No. Felt like a right couple of nanas, didn't we?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You can be seated. You're welcome. but I thought, as I'd brought them this far, it might be nice for you to see them. They're all doing very well. Not missing their mum at all. Food's great. All right, let's move along. Maybe I could ask, Justin, can we start with you? Would you like to come up? Take a seat, and then we'll kind of go... ladies and gentlemen, this is Justin. I'm not going to ask very difficult questions. Oh, I better give you that because you'll need to answer with that.
Hi, everyone. Oh, ooh, wow. Bit close.
Just remind everyone where you're from.
I live in California in the United States.
And we're talking a little bit about this in the car on the way down this morning. But what's your church background? Your kind of where are you from? What are you used to in terms of church?
Yeah, I pretty much grew up in like non-denominational churches. I for the past almost 5 years now have been going to a very very large church. I go to Saddleback Church. So I'm used to a mass amount of people, lots of different productions and different. There's just tons of opportunity there, and it's been great. It's been very interesting to see how many different types of ministry that can come out of a group of people who just have great ideas and things like that. So it's encouraging.
Is your family from that area as well?
Well, we all live there, yes. I still live with my parents. I'm okay with that.
Are they?
Sometimes. I was born and raised in Colorado. We've only lived in California in that area for about 5 years now, so.
Okay. And what were you doing up until the turn of the year? Because you're on the DTS now. What had you been doing? What was your background there?
I had finished high school in 2008, which is, I don't know the school interpretations. I think it's like...
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm now 20.
Yeah, so like secondary school.
Okay. Yeah. I'd finished secondary
sixth
school.
Yeah.
Sixth form.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to go with. I thought that was right.
Yeah. You'll know for next time.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. I'd finished that, and then I did my first year of college, my first year of university, and I was kind of going through these classes, kind of feeling like I was learning the exact same things as I was in high school, and I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere near what I feel God has called me to do, and I was just kind of, I felt like I was wasting time. So that's what kind of led me to look into YWAM. I have a cousin who did a DTS in Hawaii, and she decided to stay on staff there. And she, even while she was on her DTS and I was still going to school, was strongly encouraging me to look into it and thought it would be good for me. So once I kind of hit this stumbling point, I guess, in schooling and really not feeling like it was accomplishing anything, I was like, well, let's check this YWAM thing out. And I found out that I could go anywhere in the world and, do YWAM. So I was like, well, I most certainly want to go to England. I love it here, and there's lots of great things about this place. So I was like, I'm going to England. And I found this DTS. It has sports DTS, which I've pretty much done sport my entire life. It's just something that I enjoy. So I figured I could come and get your traditional DTS classes, which sounded very, very interesting, and get to play sport on the side and get to play football in England, which is something I've always wanted to do. And I was like, sign me up. That sounds great. So,
and since you've been here, we're going into the sixth week of the school, aren't we, next week? What kind of things have been standing out to you? Has God been kind of saying anything specific to you?
What
are some of the highlights?
Let's see. I kind of came into this looking for trying to find that really intimate relationship with God, that like getting past just the head knowledge. Having grown up in a Christian family, I knew that God loved me, and I knew, all the traditional Christian ideas, but I wanted to get past that and really, believe that in my heart and have my life really reflect those things. So God and I have been doing quite a bit of work at that, and one of the main things that I have kind of learned about that is kind of just bringing everything to God in prayer. Not the really important things, only those, not, the major problems that I have, but everything. Sitting down with God and talking about my day and things like that. And it's been interesting. It's been more of like a conversation rather than, me going to him every once in a while, kind of expecting that vending machine type God. It's been where I kind of go to him with my problems and expect an answer, expect a result. And it's been more of me just kind of sitting and hanging out and getting to know him on a more personal level and letting him into the parts of my life that I hadn't before and things like that. So
okay.
That's where I'm at now, I guess. So all Fantastic. The classes have been great, and there's been a lot more than that, but...
That's kind of the direction that things have been taking for you.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
Cool.
Yeah,
so. Okay, thank you, Colin.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Justin.
Justin. Yeah, I meant to say that. Even now I get the names wrong. Okay, shall we follow that up with Petter? Come and take a seat, Petter. Hey. Round of applause works well, doesn't it? Kind of feels nice.
Yeah.
Well, some people like it. Okay, so tell us, where are you from? You mentioned this morning, briefly, in your introduction.
I'm from Taiwan, but I'm Samoan. Yeah.
So why do you say you're from Taiwan, but you're Samoan? How does that work?
Okay, both my parents are Samoan, so
okay.
I'm Samoan. Okay. And I'm born and raised in Taiwan, so I'm from there. Yeah.
So how many languages do you speak?
I only speak two fluently.
Which are English, obviously.
Yeah. But Mandarin, Chinese. Yeah.
Okay. And what's the native tongue in Samoa?
Samoan.
And
I can speak
little.
I can speak little, understand more, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you speak at home with mom and dad?
Ooh. Okay, us kids, we use English and Chinese, but then when my parents speak to us, it's like Chinese, English, and Samoan.
Okay.
And add in a little whatever they call it.
Some other stuff as well.
Yeah, so we know the basic survival Samoan words.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting mix.
Yeah.
So how did you end up coming to do a DTS in England?
I grew up in a YWAM mission thingy already, and I already knew I was going to do a DTS. I mean, of course, my parents wanted me to do a DTS, but uh-huh. It's kind of like a natural thing for me to want to do it. But I think there was more to it of just coming, because I really, really, really wanted to know what God wanted me to do in my life. I knew I have a heart for the young people, from ages 10, just teenage, like uh-huh. 10 to 19, 21, something like that. Yeah, and I knew God wanted me to reach out to them, but I just didn't know how he wanted me to do it. Yeah, so I think that's kind of part of why I came here, and I came to DTS, and also because I think when we moved back to Samoa, I kind of stopped having like really intimate relationship with God, so I just kind of fell back. Yeah, so I kind of wanted to pick it up again. So, yeah.
Okay.
Kinda, yeah.
And since you've been at Harpenden doing the DTS, I'll ask you the same question that I asked Justin. What kind of things have been standing out for you, either through the classes or just the experience there? Has God kind of been, had you on a particular track where things are just kind of standing out for you? Or?
Yeah. We're doing our book report on this book called Is That Really You, God? Mm-hmm. By Lauren Cunningham. And then there's this one part where he was talking about they were focusing on praising the tool that God gave them instead of praising God, because they kind of left God out. Because for me, that spoke out to me in a way like, okay, I have a huge passion for dancing, and like I always wanted to use that as a like a to help, like to minister to young kids, because uh-huh. you know, where I'm from, everybody loves dancing. Okay. So like that's a great way to minister to them. But then my parents, I told my parents that I wanted to be like a really, like something like start a dance ministry sort of. Uh-huh. My parents didn't like that idea. So they wanted me to go to university or something and do teaching and stuff. So, but I kind of neglected that. So anyway, I continue focusing on the tool, uh-huh. like just what God gave me, the talent on dancing, and just focusing on that. But I think after reading just that part of the book, it really spoke to me, saying you have to focus on God, not what he gave you, because
right.
that's what God gave you. So you focus on him instead of that thing he gave you. So,
that's the lesson that's standing out for you.
Yeah, just recently. Yeah, just okay. Really big. Yeah.
I know it's early days at the moment, but can you see what direction you might take as after DTS? Do you think that what you're learning now about this is going to shape what you do afterwards?
I think so. I mean, it should. I don't know how to answer that.
No, okay, well, don't. Yeah. Maybe it's a bit too far down the line. There's a lot going on at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
Could you just say, obviously, we're just three students out of the school. Can you just say where the other students are from? And
Obviously, we have Americans, or English and American. Uh-huh. And we have... Okay, we have one girl from Switzerland, the uh-huh. French part, and then we have one girl from Colorado Springs, Colorado, United States. Uh-huh. Then we have another American, Josiah from New Hampshire, and then we have six English, one from Birmingham.
Birmingham.
And the other's from somewhere. I don't know. I know it's England.
England, some yeah. England. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we're pretty international, but mainly English. So it's good. Yeah. Okay. You know.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Beth. And last, but by no means least, from the representing the sports DTS, this is Colin Adams. Colin is both American and English.
Yes, I am. Both my parents are from England originally, and they moved to the United States when they got married. So I just applied and got my British citizenship. I thought it was a little more expensive than getting a visa, but also way easier to travel in Europe. So
so he just flits between passports now,
yeah.
According to the mood he's in. Yeah.
In debates, I can choose which side I want to be on.
Be a nice. That's a nice luxury to have, isn't it? So, what were you doing before you came to the UK, Colin? What was going on in your life before you came to the DTS?
So, I'm actually from Seattle, Washington. I said earlier. I went to university and graduated with a degree in accounting. Then I worked a year as an accountant at a construction company, so like doing their payable stuff. And then I also got paid to coach soccer or football, your football, at a Christian middle school, so like 13, 14-year-olds. And then I also coached their basketball team as well. So I did that before I came.
So what prompted you to leave all that behind and come to the UK to do a DTS?
I guess my mini testimony story is I grew up in a church until I was 18. And then when I turned 18, I went to college and I got to choose whether or not I went to church. So obviously I chose not to go. And I kind of turned away. Not turned away. I still knew and would debate with people that God is real. And if anyone asked me, I would say I was a Christian. But I definitely didn't have a personal relationship. And I didn't go to church for a while. And then I got to a point where I was in a serious relationship, kind of hit a rock bottom, if you will, for me. Probably nowhere near rock bottom for some people. But it was for me. So then that was like a year before I graduated. So I told my parents, my sister was going to do a DTS, actually at Harpenden. So I told my parents I wanted to go too. And they told me no, that I had to finish college. And at that point, it was kind of like, I thought I wanted to do a DTS because I knew what I wanted my relationship with God to look like, but I didn't see how that was possible in the situations I was in and in like my life. So I figured remove myself from all that situation and then I can focus just on God. But, thankfully I figured out I didn't need that. God got hold of me and changed me before. And so I spent a year, probably last year, has been completely different with like our relationship with God has been amazing. But I still really wanted to do a DTS and grow more. I see it as kind of like an acceleration of my walk with Jesus, which really excites me. So that is why I'm here.
And you have the unusual situation of being on a school and having a close relationship with one of the members of staff, because your sister is one of the staff on the DTS that you're running. How's that working?
Good. I'm one of seven kids. So we range from like 16 to 29, and we're all really close. So my sister, as you said, is a staff member, and she's 2 years younger than me. But I guess 1 year now, whatever it is.
And is she taking advantage of the situation to boss you around, get her own back a little bit?
No, we're...
Not yet.
We've had a few issues, but we're really close. She's probably my closest sibling, so okay. We get along really well.
Cool. And what is there anything that's particularly standing out to you through the DTS so far? Have you kind of figured out, I didn't know this, or this is new to me? Is there something that's really kind of been kind of highlighted by God through some of the teaching or some of the activities?
Yes.
Would you care to expand a little?
So, I tried to think about this to make it more concise, but when I was a baby, let's go way back, when I was in my mom's womb, stomach, whatever.
Womb works?
Yeah, she got a prophecy from someone in her church that I was going to be like John the Baptist. And so she always told me growing up, you're going to be like John the Baptist. And I would tell her, no, I'm not. That's my younger brother. I do not want to be like John the Baptist, even though I didn't know what that meant. But I didn't want to be like John the Baptist because I figured that meant giving up all the things I liked and going into the wilderness.
A lot of locusts and honey.
Yeah. But anyway, 2 weeks ago we had a teaching on God's original design for our lives and like how he made us. And you always hear like you're made in God's image. You're made like he knew you before you're born. He intricately put you together in your mother's womb. But that kind of really didn't mean anything to me until we got prayed over. We had like four staff members pray over us, and they asked for words from God about his original design for our life. Like you're generous, like different words or pictures for us. And one of the staff members got a picture for me that I was like John the Baptist. And so for me, that was like a wow moment. Like God knew who I'm going to be and my personality. So like, obviously there's a reason and a plan and a purpose for why I am who I am. So that was really cool. And then before you cut me off, there was one other person on our DTS who, about a month ago, he was getting prayed over at his church before he came, and he got, someone told him that they saw a picture of him riding on a white horse, like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. And he was like, okay, you're weird. And then he was getting prayed over, and someone, like obviously these people didn't know anything, but someone said, I see you riding on a white horse, like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. And he's like, what? And so that was kind of his wow moment. And now he's like been praying about what that means, but it's still really cool to see God moving and doing stuff. And
that he knows the details of our lives.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, brilliant. Okay, thank you, Colin. Thank you. We put all kinds of things together in the DTSs with classes and activity and structure. And it's always interesting to me that a lot of these moments that really make a big impact on a lot of our students come in the incidental things. They don't come in the times when we've carefully structured things and planned it and brought someone in to teach. That's useful and it's helpful, but often the realization and the dawning on someone that, this is really what God's saying, and it's personal, it's for me. It comes in the incidental stuff that goes on all around. So it's really encouraging for me to hear some of these things that these guys are saying, to find out where you're at and what God's doing in your lives. And I hope it's a challenge and an encouragement that, you know, we don't know the impact of what we're doing half the time on what God's up to. And sometimes we look around and we see people, maybe we see them regularly, and and maybe we see them at church, or maybe we know someone who used to come to church and seems to have drifted away. But the thing that really fascinates me and excites me is the fact that God has his hand on so many people. And even when it looks like sometimes people have made wrong choices or have gone off the rails or are not interested, that God's still got his hand on them and he's still got a plan and a purpose. And it's a fantastic responsibility sometimes for us, isn't it, to be able to reach out into that situation and say a word or pray something and be able to make a difference. And of course, there's a responsibility on all of us to respond to the things that God's doing individually to us and with us. We're gonna move on, and the other three folk who've come with me are all members of staff now at YWAM. And Gareth and Raphael, when we came last time, they were students who were doing the DTS, and they've now stayed on and they're working full time on staff. But I'll start off by asking Cindy to come up, because Cindy, when we came last time, Cindy came as a member of staff, and is still a member of staff. And please take a seat, Cindy, and hold the microphone. Thank you. And although she is obviously a little bit younger than me, she's actually one of our more experienced DTS staff members. When did you do your DTS, Cindy?
September 2006.
And you're from?
Ecuador.
Did you come with lots of other people from Ecuador to do your DTS? Was a whole bunch of Ecuadorians?
No.
It wasn't an Ecuadorian DTS?
No.
No. And why did you choose Harpenden all those years ago?
My sister came probably 7 years ago, or six. I don't know, she came to do a conference in Harpenden. Some people came over to do a mission trip in Ecuador, and they invited her to come. And after that, long story, she got married, and then my brother-in-law and my sister invited me to come and just, try YWAM. Because, my life wasn't doing too well at the moment. My relationship with God wasn't strong. So, I decided to take the challenge. So.
And you did your DTS, and then did you stay on straight away and you've been there ever since, or what happened?
No, I went home for 6 months, and when I finished my DTS, I got invited to come back and work as a staff, but I wasn't sure how that was going to work. So I went home, and after 6 months, I just asked God to open the doors if he really wanted me to come back. So it was really cool because he did it, and I got my visa and everything just worked perfectly. So,
So here you are.
Yeah.
And you've just had your visa renewed, haven't you?
Yeah, September last year.
So things are looking good.
Mm-hmm.
And you've worked on how many DTSs now? Can you remember?
Two and a half.
You worked on the September DTS that came here.
Yeah.
And then you worked on the school that just graduated. You worked on the...
Just half time. Just helping out and facilitating things.
But you're working full time on the sports DTS.
Yeah.
Are you particularly sporty? What's your interest in the sports DTS?
I really enjoy playing football, and I found out, on outreach... usually, many times we will end up, and that's something that, my leader said, and was so true, was that you will end up playing football after the service, or just, being hanging out, and then at the end, I remember we went 2 years ago on outreach, and we're just walking around in Italy, and there were some people just playing football, and we asked them if we could join them, so we did it. And what's really interesting after that, after playing, they just were interested in knowing who we were, who were, and what were we doing there. And we got the chance of explaining them that we were doing missions. So just to be able to impact people through sports, I thought was quite cool.
You have to be careful playing with Cindy. She she gets your ankles.
Yeah,
we need chimpanzees playing with Cindy. And you're going to be taking this team to South Africa for outreach.
Yeah, we are planning to go the between the 10th and 14th of May. Hopefully, work with people that just probably have alcohol issues. And just give them a different option to do in the weekends rather than drinking. So kind of like coaching them in football. And, yeah.
And over the Easter holidays, what are you involved with?
We are going to run women's, ladies, kids.
There you go. Ladies.
A girls camp to raise up funds for South Africa. So that's going to be for a week.
A coaching, football
yeah,
coaching
we're
camp.
We just got our level one. Football coach, so yeah.
And as Paul, who leads the DTS, pointed out, isn't it ironic, Steve, that you've been playing football for 30 years and you're not as qualified as an Ecuadorian female who's on the staff, who's been playing football for less time.
I'm a coach.
So she's a coach, yeah, so she knows more about football than I do. Well, maybe you do. Okay, thank you, Cindy.
Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, who'd like to come next? Gareth named it Raphael. Welcome to the stage. Pleasure to have you with me. So, Raphael, just tell us, remind us where you're from.
I'm from Germany. Actually, for me, I'm from Harpenden, but originally I'm from Germany.
Why do you say you're from Harpenden?
Because it's my home now, and I lived there since 1.5 years.
And you did your DTS last year. And how long are you going to be around for?
I don't know. At least another year.
At least another year.
And then we will see what God tells me to do.
Why did you come back to work as staff with YWAM after your DTS?
The main reason is God told me to. And it's always a good choice to do what God tells you to do. But even before I came to DTS, God told me or laid me these three things on my heart, and it's worship and to disciple people and to send them out and go with them and show them how to do missions and then send them out. And I figured that's a really good place in Youth with Mission and in Harpenden with you guys as leaders. I really feel I'm in the right place, and after last Tuesday was just amazing for me to see 27 more souls going out into the world and proclaiming that Jesus is Lord.
Fantastic. So you co-led one of our outreach teams.
Yes.
With Christine. Did Christine come last time we were here? I think she did. Did she?
No.
I think she. Yeah. Yeah. I think she did. Well, tell us where you went on outreach and what kind of just a summary and some of the things that you got up to.
Mainly, we went first to London for 3 weeks and reached London and worked with the homeless project. And then we went to the next wave, a boat of Youth with a Mission England. And we stayed there for 7 weeks.
Where was that? Where was it?
In Spain for 2 weeks, and then in France for five weeks, I think. And our main aim for this outreach was to open France for missions, because France was closed and the south of France official counts as unreached people group. And I didn't know that till like 3 weeks before you guys sent me there. And I was like, yeah thanks. And then our main aim was
a challenge, don't you?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And our main aim was to get contacts and to make France open. And we came there with no contacts. 4 weeks before we went, the boat wasn't sure if we can go there because the harbor said we are not allowed to come and it was too expensive. And then we ended up to going into another harbor for free for 5 weeks. We didn't pay anything. And after our 5 weeks, we did a thank you dinner to all the people we worked with, and the boat was full of more than 70 people. And we made contacts, and it was just amazing to see how God used us and me leading this team.
I've heard a bit more about this. We've had more of a chance to speak over the last couple of weeks since Raf and the team got back. But when you did that dinner, who were some of the people that came?
It was churches, people from the churches, the pastors, homeless people, people. The harbor master came, like all random people we met. We became friends with, we worked with, everything.
I think it's just such a wonderful image of all these different people from different walks of life who no one knew and had this this opportunity to hear more about who Jesus is through what you've done. I think that's fantastic. Is there anything that really stands out from your outreach, a story or an incident that you remember with particular joy or amusement?
There are so much. I could talk the whole evening.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said one.
Yeah. I say one, to kind of explain what we are doing, and what you do. Maybe that helps them as well.
Okay.
And it's for me, it's really important. I lead the team, and the team does the outreach. I lead them, but they are the ones who do the work and talk to the people. And I facilitate the outreach, and if needed, I show them how to do it. And we had this one girl from Faroe Islands, and she doesn't talk. She's really shy, and she doesn't talk at all. And in outreach prep, she always said, I can talk, but she didn't. It was really hard for her to do evangelism on the street and go out. And then this one evening, we had the chance to go out to do evangelism. And I said, okay, I take her with me. And that's my aim for the day, is to take away the scariness for her to do outreach and to do evangelism. So we were just four people who went out. And I said, you stay with me the whole time. And the other people I send off and do their own stuff. And I took her with me and started talking with her. And I figured that she is that's just really hard for her to just start talking to people because that's not how she met God. And so we started talking to one person, I think. And then after that, I felt it's not the right thing to do. She's not at the point where she can share something. She's not excited. She's not compassionate for what she's doing, so why should she, can she be a good example to others of Christianity and of being representing Jesus? So I took her by side and we sat on a bench and I just started chatting with her for half an hour. I said, it's not important if we don't talk to anyone today. It's not important. It's important that you move on today. And so we talked for half an hour or longer, and then we came to a point where she really said, yeah, I really want to have that, but I don't know how I get it. And I said, let's just pray, and then we go for it. And I made her praying out loud in English that I can hear. She was really mad about that. And then I prayed for her, and then I said, let's do it. And I turned around, and behind us were two guys, and we started talking to them, and they totally rejected us and laughed about us. And I said, look, this is one example that sometimes it happens, but it's okay. We make a tick, and we move on. And we talked to another three people on the streets. And after we talked to the three people, she was amazed. And she was like, I want to jump around. We talked to more than three. But she was just, I want to do this. This is exciting. And all the scariness was gone. And she said, Raf, I want to jump. And I was like, what's going on with you? And it was just because we prayed and we said, hey, God, lead us and lead her in what we do and what we talk. And he guided us to the right people, and totally the scariness was away. And we talked really deeply to a lot of people. And even that wasn't my goal, but my goal was met. And then she got a goal as well. It was really great.
Fantastic. Thank you, Raphael. Pleasure having you here with me. And last but by no means least, Mr. Gareth Cater, all the way from Bedford.
It's a long way.
It's not quite as maybe glamorous sounding as Samoa or Germany.
If the sun comes and hits the river, it's quite nice. But yeah.
So you did your DTS a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
in September 2008. Mm-hmm. And when you did it, what were you thinking that DTS would be for you? Were you thinking that you would then stay on in Youth with a Mission, or had you come thinking this would be a step onto something else?
I had thought this was going to be a step onto something else because I wanted to become a youth pastor. That's kind of what I was looking for at the time. But that wasn't to be, and it was to do this YWAM course. So in the back of my mind, I still thought I'd probably do the youth pastor course afterwards. But yeah, that didn't.
It didn't work out.
It didn't work out, no. It's not what God wanted.
I think maybe we can see that now looking back. But how did you end up making the decision to come back and be part of Youth with a Mission? Was it obvious, or?
Well, after the DTS.
After the DTS, yeah.
It was reasonably obvious to a degree because when I was a little bit younger, I had this kind of picture of cafes and clubs. And I was 16 or something, and I kind of laughed at the idea. I didn't really know what it meant, didn't really think a lot into it. But throughout the lecture phase and the outreach, cafes just kept coming into play, And so I just kept on praying about it. And funnily enough, there's a cafe on the Oval. And as I investigated it, when I came back, I was just talking to the cafe team. And it kind of came to place that Kim, who was kind of managing the floor, she was kind of due to leave. So I had to, when I actually decided to come back, I had 2 weeks to learn everything. And then Justin left kind of shortly afterwards, who kind of oversaw everything. So it was kind of an obvious one with a lot of prayer saying, God, you know, what is my next step? And the doors kept opening. Sadly, good people left, but on to better things.
And replaced by equally good people,
oh,
I like
thank
to
you.
Think. Yes, well, you're very welcome. But I've always, this has been a question that I've had for a while, you know, can you really be a missionary making coffee?
Yeah, why not? I'm doing it.
what kind of things happen in your normal working week? What kind of incidents take place in the cafe? And I should just say, you know, if you do come to YWAM Harpenden, you can get a latte or a macchiato or whatever, you know, all the things that you see in Costa.
All the posh ones, yeah.
Yeah, all the things.
Not just filter coffee.
Yeah, not just filter coffee. Yeah. All the things you see in Starbucks or Costa, you know, this is what is on offer, and it's a cafe that's open to the public. Yep. So what kind of interaction do you have with folk during the week? What kind of a door opener is it for conversation?
Well, due to the fact that it's a cafe that's open to the public, we get the public coming in, being that it's open to them. Which we get an awful lot of mums. There's a guy on the base called David who does a Fit Mums thing. So they run around the Oval and do some exercises. And then they come in and have their sugary cakes and coffees and
put it all back on.
But that's fine for us. And every now and again, you know, they'll be asking questions, you know, why is this here? What's it all about? Who owns this? So we talk about YWAM, which obviously goes on to talking about God. And obviously, I don't know if you know the history of the base, but it was an old children's home before. And it seems to be coming, every now and again, we'll get a kind of a flow of the people that used to live there coming into the cafe, walking around looking lost because everything's slightly different and they can't get into any of the buildings anymore. So they, you know, they're asking, what is this place now? And, we, you know, me and the staff just get to share what it is, what YWAM's doing, and how we're helping the local and the distance, foreign nations, or whatever you want to call it. Because as a cafe, we're non-profitable, because YWAM's non-profitable. The cafe, which is under YWAM's blanket, is non-profitable. So we keep our little money just in case the coffee machine breaks, because we'd be a hopeless cafe if that happened. But the rest of the money pretty much goes outwards to local missions. YWAM has a boat called the Next Wave, which was just talked about, and we sent £1,000 to them to help them with their costs and to help them with their mission.
So I've always wondered if whether this would be a real viable kind of mission opportunity in the centre of a town. You know, would it be possible to have a string of Christian coffee shops like this?
This is the hope. This is what is on my heart to do, is to go into the towns, go into the cities, if God calls, into the little villages as well, and plant a cafe that is basically run by me, but connected with all the churches, and all the churches have input, and a real kind of just a center where things can kind of happen from. Because sometimes, well, I know where I'm from in Bedford, some of the churches don't really work well with each other. So to have this neutral ground where you're not going to that denomination, you're not going to that one, but you just come into a cafe, it'll be really a real kind of blessing to that town, and to bring on youth groups that can bring their friends to a cafe that's not a scary church where they just think they're going to get preached at. Will be a great thing, and there may be a cafe church, but the youth that come in, I want to be planting out into the churches, not to be a church, because I'm not called to be a church leader.
But you can manage a coffee shop.
Yeah, I think so.
So within the context of the coffee shop, you're getting some training.
Yeah.
And how to run a business effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. As I mentioned, the two people that were before me have left. But my kind of overseer is a guy called Michael Green, who's Lynn Green's son, who is kind of big boy in YWAM. And he's had businesses, so he knows how to set them up and how to do all the behind-the-scenes stuff. So it's great education, as well as him just helping me grow in what I'm strong in and showing me that I'm weak in this area, so I need someone to help me in that area, so I can focus on my strengths rather than my weaknesses.
Brilliant. Thank you, Gareth.
No worries.
Well, rather than... I realise that time has marched on. Maybe the fact that only now some of you are looking at your watches means that perhaps you're as interested as I was in listening to where some of these folk are at and what they've been up to. But I hope it's given you an interesting cross-section of a little bit of what goes on within YWAM, some of which perhaps you'd expect, perhaps other bits, the coffee shop and that kind of thing, maybe that's a bit new and a different idea. But I think this is an interesting look at perhaps the way mission can go. That it's not just, I think sometimes we have in our minds, don't we, an idea of what mission and missionaries are and what they do. And the possibilities that are open to us through the way that God speaks, in the very personal ways that he calls us, because each of us have unique gifts and abilities, and God's not going to call us and ask us to do something that's not kind of appropriate and applicable to where we're at and what we're learning, the process that we're in. So I hope, having heard some of these guys, you've been encouraged, maybe challenged, and as we wrap up here, then as we go out into the week, to look at the people around us, the places that we go to, the school that we're at, the workplace that we're in, and see that as the mission field that God's placed us in. And it's not something to just put up with and endure until we get to church on Sunday, but it's rather a place where we can take the truth and the fullness and the beauty of the gospel and see change and transformation around us as we live our lives. And that's the calling that God has given all of us as we are part of him. It's like we took communion this morning. When we become part of him, we share the characteristics of who he is. So as we willingly take communion because we acknowledge our link to Jesus, then when we go out, we have to continue to be that reference point, that reflection of who he is. So as we go out into this week, I want to encourage you to be Jesus where you go, whether it's in a coffee shop or in a school environment, whether it's at work or even at home. That we can bring glory to God through what we do and what we say, and that we would recognize that God's placed us where we are, and that if we look for the things that he's got for us, we'll find them. So I don't know if there's anything else, Mark? No? Can I pray to close? There was, there's a Bible here. I was thinking the DTS that we graduated this week, We often pray before a DTS starts and ask God for a verse that would be kind of a theme verse throughout the school, perhaps something that we can look back and refer to and remind ourselves that maybe this is a word that maybe gives a bit of orientation and direction, maybe when things are hard or when we kind of lose sight a little bit of what we're doing. And these verses are quite fresh in my mind because we've been looking at them quite a bit in the last few weeks. And they're words from Proverbs chapter 3. And it says this in verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So, Lord, as we go out into this week, I pray that you would help us not to lean on our own understanding. Help us not to lean on our own experience and our own good ideas, but to lean on you, to trust in you, to recognize and acknowledge you everywhere that you send us, in every conversation that we have, and every person that we meet. Help us, Lord, that when we face situations and the things that life throws at us, that we would first of all turn to you and then trust you to make our ways straight as we move forward. Lord, thank you for the way that you work in our lives individually, that you've got your hand on each one of us. And help us to recognize what you're trying to do, how you're trying to get through. Open our eyes to see you and our ears to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been great to be here. Lovely to see you. And I hope to be able to catch up with you all soon. Thank you.